This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The number of Americans filing for unemployment didn't go down. Why, that's a concern. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Let's try for a second and get inside the minds of the folks whose hands are on the levers of this economy. That's the Federal Reserve. They've been grappling with this question. At what point will the economy need less help or even some slowing down? And the answer has to do with what happens to inflation. Will it simmer down or stick around? Diane Swonk is chief economist with tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton and joins us to talk about this. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have learned more about what the Fed is thinking from the release of the minutes from its previous meeting. Where is the Fed on this grand question of, you know, what's going to happen with inflation in this recovery?
Well, there's certainly more concern now that the upside risks to inflation are greater than the downside risks and that the flare in inflation surprised them. Ironically, that's good news for financial markets because it means that the Fed is not going to get behind the curve in terms of dealing with inflation.
373,000 Americans filed for unemployment last week. It's basically the same number as the week before. What should we take from that?
You know, it's a disappointment. What we've seen is the extended benefits are falling, and that really means as people are aging out, and long-term unemployment in the month of June actually continued to rise, even though we had a better employment number. And what we worry about as employers complain about the skills of workers out there not being up to par is those who were last hired were the first to be cut from the last expansion, were the first to be cut in the pandemic, and they're the hardest to bring back in.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Federal Reserve is going to let us know how we're all doing on paying down our credit card bills. The Consumer Credit Report for the month of May comes out today. Outstanding credit card balances have been down during the pandemic, but now that the economy is opening back up, are we going to start swiping our way back to debt again? Marketplace's Carolyn Champlin has more.
Over the last year, like many Americans, James Choi reached for his credit card less often.
Because a $7 Disney Plus subscription is a lot cheaper than hopping on a plane and going somewhere interesting.
Choi is a professor of finance at the Yale School of Management. He says those kind of savings meant people paid down their balances. In May, things were just starting to open up as people became vaccinated. And now people are going out more. Some are going back to the office, maybe buying new clothes. Ted Rossman, an analyst with creditcards.com, says this means they may be racking up debt again, especially for things like travel and dining out.
People's eyes get a little bigger than their stomach sometimes. And it's like after a year plus of being cooped up, you just want to say yes to everything.
And Rossman says credit card interest rates are still on average quite high, hovering around 16%. So he says after this summer, average card balances may shoot right back up again. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
There are some economic anxieties facing the United States right now. The Delta variant, inflation, they do have some people worried. But there are two pieces of data that suggest we are collectively actually very confident about the future. One, we are quitting our jobs at a very fast pace, not something you do if you're worried about the future. And two, we're starting businesses at a high rate. Marketplace's Morning Report host David Brancaccio spoke with Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell about what it means.
All right, quit rate. People voluntarily saying, I'm leaving this job for perhaps greener pastures, Mr. Boss, sayonara.
That's right. So it's at a series high. So many people are leaving their jobs, David, that the movement now has its own label, the Great resignation. So workers coming out of this pandemic recession are confident enough in the economy's prospects that they're willing to take a risk and leave their job behind. The social isolation that was endured by so many people during the pandemic and the trauma that followed the murder of George Floyd by a former Minneapolis police officer, you know, it pushed many people to rethink and reimagine what they're doing at work. They may be looking for something that's a better fit with their values and goals, and they're willing to take a risk to find that job and career.
But, I mean, right, you have to be financially secure enough to take the risk of switching careers and leaving a job, unless you have like an especially heinous boss and you just have to get out. But often it's people who have the wherewithal to be able to make the change.
Well, here's the thing, David. Economists estimate that we've accumulated in excess of $2 trillion in savings during the pandemic, at least for those who still had jobs. And that's because there were limited outlets to spend your money. Well, here's the thing. Much of the economic conversation about this excess savings rate has dwelled on how it's going to fuel consumer pent-up demand. But more important, the savings may be helping to pay for that job search or starting a new business.
Yeah, or starting a new business. That's the other part of it. You might not go to a new boss. You might be your own boss.
So entrepreneurship, it's flourishing. Economist John Halterwanger, he's at the University of Maryland. In a recent paper, he noted that the pace of new business applications since mid-2020 is the highest on record. Now, the series only goes back to 2004, but still, this large increase in applications is for entrepreneurs that plan on hiring employees and others who just want to be solopreneurs. So in sharp contrast, entrepreneurship fell during the Great Recession of a dozen years ago. And the Kauffman Foundation, you know, it's a nonprofit organization that follows entrepreneurship. Its national series on entrepreneurship also shows a sharper increase in startup activity last year. So like the quit rate, you don't take the risk of starting a new business unless you believe there's an opportunity to make a go of it.
Chris Farrell, Marketplace's senior economics contributor, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.